What's happening, everybody? And I'm coming at you right now with a little bit of an emergency podcast. Just want to hop on, not too long, not gonna take too much time. Just wanted to hop on here and just talk about a couple things that's going on right now in swag football. As you may know, or you may not have heard, Grambling is now the latest team to not play because of COVID protocols. They're canceling the game against Alabama A&M on Saturday and the game against Texas Southern on April 3rd. So that's three teams so far in this regular season that have had to postpone games. Grambling is outright canceling these games. They're not going to try to make them up. I don't think they have any real time to make them up as far as scheduling goes. So that's out. Alabama A&M is now without a home game. Excuse me. They're without a home game at all this season, as they lost their first home game to Alcorn opting out. So quick math, 4 out of 10 teams have either not played at all this season or have postponed games this season. So that's 40% of the teams have had some kind of effect by COVID or the protocols or just not wanting to take the risk of playing. And it kind of, for me, puts the season into a little bit of a doubt. I kind of feel like maybe the season won't make it all the way through. I mean, I approach this season as looking at it as any games we play would be a welcome diversion. So that mission has been accomplished. But you now you're looking at the possibility of a team like Alabama A&M making the championship game without playing all of their games, and it's not their fault at all. Some people, and you know, pure disclaimer, not me. There's people that anytime these kind of situations come up, they think the team who is postponing is up to nefarious means. I heard Prairie View took 2 weeks off because their offense wasn't looking so good and they wanted extra practice time without games. That don't make no sense to me because game reps are more important than practice reps. So if you're getting game action, you know where you stand against live ammo, so to speak. And I've heard people say Grambling is choosing not to play these couple games because they're 0-3 right now and they don't really want to take too many other risks of taking more L's. And that could be. I'm not looking at either side of it. That could be. It could not be. But that, this COVID type of thing lends to those kind of situations. And if you go back to some of the FBS seasons in the fall, you had teams accusing teams of not playing because they were scared, because they had COVID protocols, or teams were just like, we out of it, so we're not gonna take the risk anymore. But there's a lot of things that are moving parts in this kind of situation. And I think that you have to be thoughtful and mindful of how you approach these situations and how you look at them, because, those are strong accusations to throw at people. And, unless you have concrete proof, then you're kind of just, pissing in the wind, so to speak. And, that's a dangerous precedent to set. Because now, anytime somebody else chooses not to play for whatever reason, then you're gonna have to look at them with the same lens. And the way the protocols go, if you have a positive test, then you're out automatically 2 weeks. So that's two games. It just so happened that every time that these teams have had this situation, it's been two game weeks. Nobody had a situation where they were in an off week and they only missed one game week, or they had one game and then an off week. So it's really, threw some things into a crunch. And like I said yesterday, that you're running out of time for reschedulings. So Alabama A&M is already basically booked up. They have a game against Jackson State on April 10th. They have a game against Alabama State on April 17th, and they have a game on April 24th against Valley. So not much flexibility for them to move against anybody. I think some people are trying to see if are looking at it like maybe A&M and Valley can move their game up to this weekend, and you know that would allow Grambling to play them on the 24th. But I don't even know if Grambling wants to do that. You know, these kind of things have to go through all channels and have to be, you know, certain for both sides. If it's feasible and worth doing, you know, if Grambling is 0-3 and, you know, the next game is April 17th, they lose that game, they 0-4, I'm hypothetically saying, would it really want to play a game on April 24th? Doesn't mean anything for them. Now, it possibly could mean something for A&M. And just a quick revision of the schedule that I said. Alabama A&M has a game against Prairie View on April 3rd, which is a rescheduling game. Then April 10th against Jackson State. Then April 17th against Alabama State. Then April 24th against Valley. So there's no real flexibility for them unless they were to some kind of way move the Valley game up to this week. But that's short notice. You know what I mean? They haven't, you know, you haven't really practiced for this team. And, you know, you want to step out on the field and play. But, you know, it can happen. I mean, you know, if you want to look to a precedent that was set, BYU and Coastal Carolina actually played a game that was scheduled basically the week of the game. And they actually played, you know, that Saturday. And it was an entertaining game. But, you know, everybody's not up for that. But, you know, A&M definitely needs a game. They haven't played a game since March 6th. And now it's looking like they probably won't play again until April 3rd. Their season is honestly wrecked. They have no home games. Alcorn opted out, which cost them their first game of the season, which was their first home game. Grambling, canceling. So now they have no home games. And it's going to be interesting to see how this is affected. I mean, because do you just go, you know, I remember at one point they were saying, you know, if games are going to be canceled, then, you know, forfeits may occur. Do we, you know, I'm not saying that they should, because it's just a tricky situation. But, you know, if you're A&M, do you look for a forfeit for Grambling? I mean, that's an on paper win, but not an on the field win. And you still don't have any game action, but one game. Or do you, you know, how is the league going to handle this? You know, this is a situation that, what's to stop somebody else from saying, and again, this is hypothetical, I'm not throwing no stones at nobody, but, you know, what's to stop somebody else who is, you know, out of it to just say, yo, we got our couple games in, we got, you know, a month and a half, 2 months of practice in, you know, we ain't really got no major injuries. Let's just go ahead and chalk this up as like spring practice and get out of here and get ready for the fall, which, as we all know, is the most important season because it's the actual season. You know, I that was one of the things that I really kind of sat back and thought about, even in terms of just how teams would approach the season as the races started to thin out. You know, if you're out of it, do you just, you know, play your young guys and just, you know, say whatever, this is like, you know, live reps in practice for us, and we're just going to go ahead and focus on the spring. You know, for me, when I looked at the spring season, selfishly, I wanted it to take place because I didn't get to see any SWAC football during the fall time. So the opportunity to see Southern play, I'm a Southern fan and a Southern alum. So an opportunity to go see the Jags play obviously was something that I missed out on during the fall. So knowing that I could have went to a game in the springtime and, you know, possibly traveled to more games and treat this like a fall season was just too much for me to overcome inside. So I was really focused on having this season and hoping this season would take place. But, you know, now that, you know, one game, I was able to attend the one game Southern had at home. It you know, it's like, okay, this is what it is. It's not, you know, it's a weird season. You know, it's a season that somebody's going to win a championship playing seven games, you know, counting a championship game. And, you know, it's not really like a typical race. It's kind of like who can survive to the end. It's a war of attrition. And if you can make it through without your guys missing much time, then you come out ahead. And it's just, you know, it's just been an up and down weird type of situation. You know, we had unprecedented times, and it's just something that I really was like, I want it to happen, and now that it's happening, I'm cool now. You know, it's like I got my fix. You know, I can wait till the fall now, and it's like I don't really want to see anybody put themselves in jeopardy or put other people in jeopardy, and I don't really want to see dirt thrown on schools' names because they're choosing not to play. You know, if you're an Alabama A&M fan or you know, somebody associated with the program, then, you know, you got every right to be, you know, frustrated, upset, whatever, because you have what stands the chance to be one of your best teams, and they have not been able to play football through no fault of their own. And that, you know, that's frustrating. And I just don't feel like, you know, I just don't feel like nobody's ducking nobody, because it's like everybody's taken an ass whooping before. Let's just keep it real. You know, you play football, you play any kind of sport, you're going to take an ass whooping from time to time. So I don't think nobody's actually ducking whoopings. Now, you know, you might be able to say, you know, it might be able to be a situation where it's like, man, we're going, you know, we're not going to press because we need to work. And we need to fix ourselves before we move in on to somebody else. But I don't really think it's like we're scared of these dudes. We don't want to play them, because if you're ducking these dudes, now you got to not play a team who is not as hard as them. So are you ducking Texas Southern too? You know, I'm just speaking from, you know, perspective of somebody looking at what they're saying about Grambling. You know, like, I know they're not scared of Texas Southern, and that's no offense to the Tigers. I'm just saying that they are not a team that's viewed as a top team. So if you can't play this team, then that costs you another game. So are you, you know, are you willing to miss two games to say that you don't want to play this one game? I you know, that I don't see. But, you know, it, when these kind of things happen, emotions are involved. And I mean, you know, if you remember back in the fall, Clemson and Florida State didn't play, and they had a late cancellation, like the day of the game, like 3-4 hours before the game, and Dabo Swinney was like, Florida State was scared of Clemson, and, you know, they didn't want to take a whooping, and, you know, this and that. Well, that team had took like 5 whoopings already that season, so I doubt they were scared of another. And I don't think most teams are scared of a whooping. I mean, you step on the field, there's a chance you can get whooped, even if you have a great team. There's blowouts, surprise blowouts every week in sports. So you can't, you know, obviously we know that you can't step on the field being afraid to get your butt whooped, because that's just the nature of the beast. But, you know, this situation, I think it rings a little bit more heavily because, you know, the first team who, not counting Alcorn, but the first team who had COVID protocol postponements was Valley. And Valley is a team that don't really get a lot of attention. You know, they're not a program that's consistently, you know, challenging for a championship. You know, they kind of just kind of making their way around. So people were upset who were fans of the teams that they didn't get to play, you know, because they wanted to play and it was early in the season. But, you know, Prairie View opted out. Well, not opted out. Prairie View postponed 2 weeks for COVID protocols. And that was, you know, still not a lot of publicity, even though Prairie View is one of the teams who's contending for the West this year. And like I said, there were, you know, rumblings that people would say, like, oh, Prairie View just, you know, they're not quite where they want to be at yet. They don't want to play Alabama A&M and Jackson. But not a lot of heavy rumbling. But this is Grambling. This is G man, whatever you want to call it, the icon, as some people call it. You know, they dictate a lot of press. And when they make a move, people are gonna sit up and notice. So I think sometimes you have to separate who it is from what it is that's going on, and then you can get a better look at situations. Now, Grambling, right now that program is in a little state of flux right now. You know, so they need, you know, I don't know, maybe this time away from football might not be as beneficial as you think it is. I mean, the starting quarterback, if you hadn't heard, Jeremy Hickbottom has put his name in the transfer portal. He's basically like, he posted on Twitter that he's basically out. And, you know, Mark Orlando was the offensive coordinator. He got, he was allowed to resign after the Prairie View game. They named Kendrick Nord as the offensive coordinator the following week. And he's gone after the Pine Bluff game. So there's some turnover at Grambling. And there's a lot of things that's, you know, that's going to have to shake out. And that's, you know, is this the time that you need to really have, you know, time away from on the field action to kind of distract you from that kind of stuff? because now everything's gonna fester. All the talk and rumors are gonna continue to churn, and you don't have that on the field action to distract from it. Because you could possibly, you know, steal a win somewhere. Football is a strange sport, you know. Alabama A&M hasn't played in a while. In their last game they played in, they turned the ball over 3 times in interceptions. You know, who's to say they couldn't do that again and Grambling could find a way to win? But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, that's something that I just kind of wanted to, you know, ramble about. Because, you know, like I said, when you see Grambling, people sit up and take notice. And when I saw that this morning, I was like, I got to get on and do a little something, because I'm just seeing what so many people are saying about, you know, this and that. You know, is it real? Is it Memorex? You know, as the old school saying goes, you know, what is it? You know, what's going on? You know, it's got to be more to it than, you know, a positive test or whatever. So I don't have anything really to bring to you. I just like to talk sometimes, and I was just, you know, just eager to do that. And another thing I did want to touch on since I'm here is, you know, the Deion Sanders stuff. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and badmouth nobody, because I'm sure you guys have heard me say multiple times that Deion Sanders is my all-time favorite player. He's, you know, I'm a Florida State fan. You know, I know a lot of people don't really like you like in PWIs, but I love Florida State almost as much as I love Southern. Probably not as much, but I do love them. But Deion Sanders is my all-time favorite player. He played for the Cowboys at one point, who is my favorite team. So every team I support, he played for pretty much. And he's my favorite player of all time. So for him to play for Jackson State as a Southern fan, it was, you know, for him to coach for Jackson State as a Southern fan, it was a bit of a shock. But I do applaud some of the things that he's doing, and I do look at some of the things that are coming toward the situation from outside as not always a positive thing. You know, everybody is saying that, you know, everything is good for HBCUs, but as a person like me, I'm looking at all angles. Like, nobody's name is really being dropped other than him, and that's, you know, that's no fault of his own. You know, I guess you have to look at it in a way like, when you play them, then your name will get brought into it. And that's, you know, that's something that I guess you have to kind of live with. You know, it's like, you just got to kind of be along for the ride. And it was interesting to see, you know, like, I'm a part of a lot of national message boards, FBS, FCS message boards, and everything is like, nobody really has respect for HBCU football. So this is like, you know, an opportunity for everybody to kind of step up and show out. But I feel like a lot of the attention that's coming is not legit and honest attention. You know, this is curiosity attention. And that's the kind of thing that's going to disappear if things don't always be on point. You know, like, a lot of people are watching this from outside eyes for the train wreck factor. And that's so disrespectful to Jackson State as a program, to the guys who playing on the field, to the coaches on the staff, to Deion Sanders. That, you know, just to watch them, just to see, you know, what they're gonna do, how, if they're gonna fail, if you're gonna lose, you know. If you're not in this world, then it's kind of like fake, because you're not really invested in what they're doing. You're not supporting any programs, and that, you know, I think that's why for me it kind of ruffles me a little bit when I see a lot of the outside people just look down on the league as a whole and just, you know, think that, you know, he's there to do this and they're going to do that and nobody else is going to do anything. And, you know, I really try not to get too wrapped up in outside perception, because, you know, people have a preconceived notion of what HBCU football is, and it's hard to change that. No matter how much you tell people, oh, there's plenty of players in this league. You know, we had greats. You know, we got young men who work hard, who play hard. We got some coaches who try to innovate and work hard with the game. And obviously, we got some who just do what they do. But, you know, when you carry that banner on a national board, you really get looked down on. So it's like, I applaud any attention that comes to the HBCU world and SWAC football, but I don't like the train wreck factor. And that's something that I fight all the time when I'm on boards with people, because I'm like, y'all don't really pay attention to the everyday thing. Y'all don't know everything that happens. Y'all don't even, you know, a lot of people who are talking about this kind of stuff, they really can't even name any teams in the conference. And that's fair. You know, I mean, I'm one of those kind of people who kind of follow everybody. So, you know, I kind of can keep tabs on every league. I don't expect everybody to be that way. But I don't think that you can speak as an expert on something if you haven't even took 2 seconds to learn about what it is you're talking about. And that's, to me, when it comes to exposure, that's what I want to see. I want to see people who are legitimately invested in learning and supporting what is being done. Because if you're not really putting any dollars into Jackson State, then you're not even really supporting Jackson State. And you're not supporting the SWAC. You just, you know, like I said, a lot of times you're just an observer. And anybody who listens to this show, I feel like is somebody who obviously supports a SWAC school. And most, you know, we put our money into these SWAC programs, whether you're buying tickets to games, you're buying merch, you go to school there, you're paying alumni dues, you're putting a kid through there, you know, whatever. You're supporting your school. So obviously, none of this is directly. If you listen to a show called SWAC Talk, then I already know that you support whatever school it is that you support. So this is obviously not directed to you, and probably not even directed to most of the people that you know. This is mainly directed to people who are outside of the circle, because they don't have any, they don't even have any respect for any school in this conference, let alone the school who is bringing all the attention. And the thing is, you know, when attention comes, you have to be ready. You have to up your game. You know, everybody has to up their game. And because now we're getting national TV games, I'm talking about real ESPN games. And obviously that's because of the coach on the sideline at Jackson, which is, I salute him, because in this aspect, every game pretty much this year has been televised on some ESPN channel. And to have two games, hopefully, if the season continues to go the way it's supposed to, two games broadcast on national ESPN, you know, it's a blessing, you know. And I hope that every team that steps on the field in those games brings the A game, you know, and show that we can play football in this conference. We have talented kids. We have smart young men. We have young men who are going to do any and everything off the field. And let's showcase who we are, because a lot of people have such a negative perception of what HBCU football is. And it's because for a long time, especially us as the SWAC, we have a perception from the outside that we don't want to belong to nobody, because we don't play in the playoffs. We got our classics. We got our championship game. You know, we have high attendance numbers, the bands, all that stuff. But nobody casts that same spotlight and negativity on the Ivy League, who do everything that we do. They don't really play any non-conference games, maybe against Patriot League teams, a couple of teams like Princeton, maybe venture out into some Pioneer League teams. But most teams in the Ivy League don't play very many non-conference games, especially outside of their region. They don't play in the postseason. You know, they're in their own bubble, but everybody loves them because they're the Ivy League and everybody wants them in the playoffs. And a lot of people do want HBCU teams in the playoffs. I'm not going to say they don't, but it's just a situation where I just really want the best for everybody. And I know everybody can't go where everybody goes. You know, everybody can't get to the mountaintop, but you have to strive to get there. And I'm hoping that this situation with Jackson's building, because I do think they're building toward something. Now, whether they make it there or not, that, you know, that's what we're going to see. But I know that they have a vision to get somewhere. I'm hoping that everybody else is seeing that and knowing that at some point they're going to have to up their game, and you're going to have to match what they're doing. You got to recruit. You know, you may not be able to recruit the way that they do because you don't have the name that you know, Deion Sanders brings to the table. But if you're a coach who's already been there at your school, you have some tradition, you have a program that's solid that you can throw out there. you know, you have to look outside, man. You can't just stick with the kind of, you know, with, you can't just stick in a certain level. You need to try to at least venture up to the top. You know, if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. But the spotlight is on us, and I hope that we're able to take advantage of it and just put out a good product every time we step on the field and, you know, just continue to support our teams, because we have a lot of teams who bring a lot of fans to the games that other conferences don't. And that's something that I take pride in, and I hope you guys do too. And that's, you know, that's pretty much all. I just wanted to sit down and get a couple of things off me, because I just, you know, had an epiphany when I was getting up this morning and I saw the whole Grambling situation. So I thank everybody for taking this little short journey with me. And now we'll be back on Sunday with only one game to recap, knock on wood. Hopefully that game gets played. And this is going to be the way the season is. Every week we're going to preview games, and then we're going to hope that we get them all in. So I'd like to thank y'all for, you know, spending this little time with me, taking a little quick joy ride around and just kind of chopping it up a little bit. So we'll see you guys on Sunday. Later.